good afternoon, and welcome to The Good, The Bad, and Reality. Well, we're brought to you by the DeUnity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting, as well as federal, state, and local certifications. I'm Roger Vaughn, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-hosts, Stacey and Myra. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon.
Hello there. How are you?
Good, good, good. Well, did everyone get enough turkey?
I'm gobbling.
I actually didn't have turkey this year. This is the first time. Yeah, I did a beautiful pork shoulder, though. It was fall off the bone delicious.
So you shouldered the work and did
it's
pork.
It's lunchtime and I'm a little hungry.
Yeah,
so
a little drilling.
Well, good. Well, anyway, each week we talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. That being said, we have two great guests in our audience today, and who are they?
First, we have Darren McMillan with My Accessible Homes, and we'll go with, you want to start with Dara first?
Yeah, well, we also have George Tingley here. He's the co-founder of BizWire, but let's get started with Dara kind of talking about the accessibility and what you do with your business.
Hi, Dara.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on today.
Thanks for joining us.
So what do you do?
A little bit of everything. How much time do we have? I'm actually a social worker who started a home modification company in 2008 along with my husband. And the reason we started this company was to keep people safer and with better function and accessibility in their home environment when they've had changes physically. Mm-hmm. So with being a social worker, I've spent 22 years working with seniors and people with different physical impairments and found that really there was a real need here.
Right.
People love their homes. You know, you often hear people say, I'm not leaving this home until they carry me out in a pine box.
Right.
Well, my goal is to keep people in their homes, but with better function and accessibility when they've had some changes.
Exactly. Well, that, I mean, in today's aging population, I imagine there's a bigger and growing need for what you offer.
Huge, Myra. There's actually, the statistics are 10,000 baby boomers are turning 65 every day.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this is going to be the first time ever that there's going to be more people over the age of 65 than under the age of 21.
Hmm. Goodness.
And yeah, we call it the silver tsunami in this industry. And I almost hate to reference the whole tsunami issue, but the silver, can you see all the like the little white haired men and women around? Yeah.
Oh
that's,
my gosh.
That's, I love it.
So is it more cost effective for them to do their refab their home versus trying to go do a temporary assisted living kind of situation?
Yeah, Stacey, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. I mean, the average cost of an assisted living community can be anywhere from $4,000 to $7,000 to $8,000 a month.
Wow.
Versus, right. Yes.
Did you say 4,000 to 70,000?
No, I'm sorry. 4,000 to 7,000 a month.
Okay.
On average, every market and every city is different.
But that's still a whole lot of money.
A huge amount of money versus, let's say you were to really go to put some money and invest it in your home to retrofit it to meet your needs so that you can live there indefinitely.
Right.
Maybe you'd be looking to spend on a high end 15, you know, anywhere from 10, 15, 20,
right.
depending upon what you did.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a significant amount less than the cost of assisted living.
Wow, that's incredible. And then, of course, you know, most of the time with the target market, I mean, if it is the aging seniors, you know, they may be in a position where they own their home outright. So
right.
instead of having to, you know, lose that, they're just, you know, improving their property.
That's right.
So can you get some of that? Can some of those agents get those through their insurance agents, you know, because they're having, you know, physical ailments that would not necessarily, you know, the AARP, we're saying certain things are now you can apply with insurance aspects.
I wish that insurance, things like Medicare, you know, the insurance that our seniors have, I wish Medicare would pay for some of these ways to keep people safer. Even, you know, you're going to get me on my soapbox now, but even if Medicare were to consider paying like a certain amount of money every year, maybe to put towards grab bars or something to keep people safer.
Right.
That would make a significant difference because, unfortunately, they don't. But they'll pay for after someone's had a fall
exactly.
and they go to the ER. They'll pay for that visit, but they won't pay for the preventative care. So
right.
I think if I had a little bit more time, I'd be doing a little bit of lobbying up in D.C.
Well, I'm sure you're busy enough doing what you do. So talk about what makes My Accessible Home different from a traditional construction company.
Wow. Again, a loaded question. Most construction companies that are starting to retrofit homes for seniors mm-hmm. and people with physical disabilities, they do a good job in terms of the structural recommendations and the work that they do. The difference is that they're a construction company. They're generally mm-hmm. run by people who have absolutely no knowledge of the aging process, of disease progression, of the resources in the healthcare market. Because if you think about it, most people who are going to need their home adapted uniquely for their physical needs,
right.
they're also probably going to need other resources mm-hmm. to help them remain at home.
Right.
Maybe they might need in-home care services. Maybe they might need transportation help
right.
if they can't drive any longer. So being a social worker and having such a pulse of mm-hmm. all the resources that are here in Atlanta, what can help people remain at home longer, that's, I would say, is the biggest difference between My Accessible Home and another construction mm-hmm. company that's starting to get on the retrofitting bandwagon. Right.
And I think I read on your website somewhere about certified aging in place specialists.
Yeah, I'd love to tell you about that and mm-hmm. also to let the listeners know, because it's a fairly new, when I say new, probably 5-6 year old uh-huh. designation. Basically, how that came about is AARP mm-hmm. said, hey, we've got a huge aging population coming our way. Right. So they got together with the National Association of Home Builders and they put together a 3-day course, a certification course called allowing people, when they completed the 3-day course, to have a better understanding of how to look at a home environment, how to make recommendations and suggestions for people who've had some changes physically, and it's called CAPS, which stands for Certified Aging in Place Specialist. So I tell people when I do a lot of education out in the community, I tell people if you meet a contractor or someone that is CAPS certified mm-hmm. or Certified Aging in Place Specialist, that's a good thing.
Right.
That means that they've had a little bit of training above and beyond what a general contractor
right.
might have had. Mm.
That's really good, interesting. So you started your business in 2008. Did people say you were crazy then?
Oh, yeah. They thought, okay, you guys are, you have a family, you're married, and you're going to have no income, no health and benefits, nothing other than what you bring in. Mm-hmm. You're nuts. It was a huge leap of faith, but I think I really believed in what we were doing, and I believed that there was a need, mm-hmm. and I'm blessed to have so many great connections and contacts in the healthcare community that I've right. I've served for so many years here in Atlanta. So it was just a true leap of faith. That's all. Amen. There's I nothing know. More I can say. It was a God thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Most business ventures, especially the good ones, are just that. You have to just step out there and know that you're going to get caught.
Well, and it's funny. I tell people over the years, they ask me about it. And I say, I've never been so stressed, but I've never been so happy and fulfilled inside.
Right, right.
If that, you know,
uh-huh. yeah,
makes
it
sense.
Makes, definitely.
Yeah, can you relate to that?
Yeah,
yes.
That's
you're talking
profound
to entrepreneurs.
Statement.
Exactly.
We can all relate to that.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Washington, D.C. earlier. And as you know, with the advent of all of our wars and rumors of wars and all that good stuff. So, well, I say good stuff, but all of that. You know, we have a lot of veterans, both young and not so young, or seasoned, that are coming back, you know, that are, you know, obviously disabled and whatnot. What has your interaction, if any, have been with any of the federal agencies, such as DOD or Housing Urban Development, for that matter, or the VA? I mean, it would seem to me that that would be something that they would really be very interested in with that, you know, with what you do.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Veterans are near and dear to me as well. Prior to starting this company, I was working for an elder and disability attorney in Decatur who mm-hmm. is a veteran herself and is a real proponent and advocate for veterans themselves. And you're right. Veterans are coming back from war in a very different physical state sometimes than when they left. A lot of amputees we're seeing. So years ago, we did get established, and we are an approved provider through the VA. Mm. And
great.
We've had a number of clients that have been approved for the adaptive housing grant, and we work with them any way we can.
Outstanding.
It's very special.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we must lobby for more.
Yeah, we definitely
you know,
need to lobby for more.
You know, it's not just the VA. It is, in fact, you know, health, it, to your point, Health and Human Services themselves. And all, it all it comes full circle eventually, yes. You know, that we're here to stay as a vet.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And living longer, too. Yeah. You know, veterans are living way longer than they had ever planned.
Right. And then when you're living longer with a disability, you have to think about what does that look like? Like, yeah. If I'm working with a vet now that's in his 40s or she's in her 40s and maybe has lost a limb or has some significant impairment physically, mm-hmm. I need to look at their home. And if they decide that this is a home they want to live in for mm-hmm. indefinitely, I need to look at the home and assess not only what will work for this individual now,
but 20,
but what will years from what now. Will they look like physically
right. mm-hmm.
with uh-huh. their impairments, you know, 10, mm-hmm. 20, 30, 40 years from now.
And then, of course, just as a society, we're living longer and aging. So that you just got a perpetual business, which is a great thing.
Yeah, you know, I know it's you know it's a mixed bag yeah. of blessings because people say, well, how is business going? And if I say it's going well, that means that there's a lot of people that are
right.
are struggling right. physically and but emotionally, and that makes me sad. But then I go, okay, you know what? Let me turn that around, and that I know that I'm
You're
a good person,
a
and we're a good company mm-hmm. to be involved with them because even after we've done their home. And adapted it for their unique needs, we mm-hmm. stay in touch with our clients. It is very common for our clients to call us and ask me for a resource. I'm like known as the resource guru around Atlanta. And I think that's the social worker in me.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
It's good.
I no. love it.
Are you trying to say you're a social person?
A little. Yeah, you know me a little bit, Roger. Yeah.
Now, what's the most common area of the home that people struggle with when they have a disability or a physical limitation?
Oh, wow. Another good question. Entryways, first and foremost.
Oh,
people have
yeah.
to have a safe way to get in and out of their home. You know, if you get somebody in their home, but they don't have a safe way to get an easy way to get mm-hmm. in and out, then they're isolated.
Right.
And that can lead to more feelings of depression right. and despair. And so we need to help normalize people's lives as much as possible, regardless of what's happened to them physically. Mm-hmm. And then bathrooms. Boy, I talk yeah. a lot about bathrooms. I never knew, you know, 15 years from now, 15 years ago, I never expected to talk so much about bathrooms. You know, and you make light of it, but it's true. You've got wet, slippery surfaces, mm-hmm. hard surfaces, often small areas. Gosh, mm-hmm. so many homes in Atlanta and even around the country are,
right.
bathrooms are just not always very big. They are right. now. Uh-huh. You see larger masters. But mm-hmm. I know the house I grew up in, our master for my parents was very small. Our yeah. half bathroom was very small.
Right.
So, you know, it's looking at can people get in and out of those doorways mm-hmm. of their bathrooms? And then once they do, how can they adequately manage their personal hygiene, which is so important mm-hmm. for dignity?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right.
How can they manage it if they, let's say, are in a wheelchair?
Right.
And so yeah. that's when we come up with creative solutions for them to have more accessible uh-huh. way to bathe and manage those needs.
I know I was looking at something very interesting on your website that said tub cut. And is that one of those unique, interesting
it
things?
It is. Okay. I'm so glad you brought that up.
I was like, this looks like a little baby. So let me make sure I mentioned that.
No, I'm glad you did. The tub cut. And it's one of those things that, you know, when something's invented and you're just so in awe of it, you think, gosh, why didn't I think of that first?
Right.
About 9 years ago, a woman named Virginia Piper has a company called Access Designs, and she's out of Virginia. She got together with the University of Virginia and came up with a patented technology for making a safer, more accessible, more functional way for someone who has a bathtub mm-hmm. to be able to get in and out of that bathtub. Because as we know, you know, falls is the leading cause of injury,
mm-hmm.
and bathrooms are where falls occur the most in
right.
all of the rooms of the home. So what she did is she came up with this technology in working with Virginia Tech, and it cuts out a section of someone's existing bathtub, whether it's cast iron, porcelain, acrylic, steel, whatever the bathtub's made of, it can be done. And it uses integrated panels of that person's existing bathtub, so it's a very smooth, mm-hmm. streamlined cut. And my husband is actually a licensed installer for the product. It's a nationwide product, so there's installers in mm-hmm. every state. But we're one of three in the state of Georgia.
Wow.
And we can cut a tub. either 18 inches across or 24 inches across. Mm-hmm. And it takes that stepping over threshold down from the typical 15 to 16 inches uh-huh. high down to 4.5 inches.
Ooh. Wow. That's
amazing. And then you combine that with a few grab bars wow. to hold on to for steadiness mm-hmm. and support, a bath bench perhaps uh-huh. so someone can sit. And use a handheld shower head on a 6-foot hose so they can adequately manage their hygiene from all over. Mm-hmm. You know, for around $1,500 in the metro area, you've now got a safer bathing solution.
Wow. Oh my goodness. So yeah. somebody, and that would work for
very
somebody
cost
that's
effective.
Even,
yes, that's my
wheelchair,
thing.
But you know, has the ability to use their hands. To pull themselves, they could even use something like that.
Well, someone in a wheelchair, if they didn't have use of their legs, it probably wouldn't work as well because they would need something where they can maybe wheel in. Mm. But if somebody, oftentimes people are in wheelchairs because of endurance and strength and stamina that they mm. don't have. Right. But when they could wheel it into a bathroom uh-huh. and lock the wheelchair and then maybe transfer with some help right. onto a bath okay. bench in the bathtub.
Wow.
But here's the best part, too. Not only is it cost effective, it's reversible.
I saw that. I was like, no way.
Really? So it's like when if they for some reason
are selling the home or whatever.
That's a great.
Isn't that
wow.
great? I know. That's what you understand now, Stacey, why I said I wish I had thought of it
yeah,
first.
Yeah. Well, because I know when my dad had Parkinson's. It was very hard for my mom to have their bathtub. You know, even though the master was on the lower level, I mean, mm-hmm. she had to hire somebody that two people had to come the day to get him bathed.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because picking yeah. him up off the wheelchair, mm-hmm. getting him in the tub to be. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's really close to home for us.
Right.
Because we've seen it. And the after, and he was very young when he received, you know, got diagnosed at 66.
Right. So imagine being that young and feeling like you have to rely upon people versus having a situation set up for not a lot of money
right.
that allows you to have more independence and do more for yourself.
And the cost benefit, based on what you just said, and what mm-hmm. it costs to have two people a day come in the home, I mean, it pays for itself in probably less than a month.
Easily. Easily.
Wow.
Especially on assisted living.
So you can imagine that why we do, on average, you know, 4 to 5 mm-hmm. tub cuts here a month. It's popular.
Very much so.
Wow.
Popular item, yeah.
So you're a husband and wife team, like we are.
Yes, ma'am.
So
well, only two of the we.
Yeah.
We are
so
not.
What's the pros? One pro and one con.
Oh, gosh. You're putting me on the spot because you know my husband will be listening to this.
Sorry, Chuck.
well, you know, and I'm not going to say anything that I haven't said to him already.
Right.
I have come to have so much more respect for him because he's sort of come into my world. You know, I've spent my whole career working with this population.
Right.
Prior to even doing this work and working for that elder law attorney, I was a hospice social worker for 11 years.
Wow. Okay.
And helping people, you know, with terminal condition, be able to remain at home. Okay. I've brought him into my world. He's now working with people. Instead of just doing a deck and finishing a basement, he's now working with people who've had such significant losses physically, which ties into how they feel emotionally.
Right.
And I mean, I've heard him come home and talk about some of these clients with just such compassion. And I've actually seen him even tear up a little bit. I know he's not going to like me saying that, but it's great. And I really have such Roger's laughing. I have such more respect for him. He also comes up with great solutions, sometimes things I hadn't even thought of. And I'll give you an example. When I go out to do an assessment, if there's a situation where we need to look to expand a wall and not, you know, expand a room, I know nothing about that. So he brings that excellent contractor experience. He's got visions that I couldn't even imagine.
Right.
You know, that's the difference between a social worker and a contractor. So I think we really complement each other well. I think, I don't want to quote him, but I think he would say the same thing about me. Mm-hmm. I think he recognizes the strengths that I bring, and then I recognize the strengths that he brings.
Awesome.
Yes.
Can we move on from that?
We were trained well as husbands. To your point, we're similar. We're much very similar.
Yeah, you see each other's strengths, and you you come to have a newfound respect for one another.
Absolutely. Definitely. I agree.
Do I have to talk about the negative or can we just move
on? I say we move on.
No, we move on.
The happy-go-lucky. Yeah. Roger would want you to say the negative. But hey, it's good, bad reality. Today's just going to be good in reality.
Okay. No, all right. In all fairness, I will say, and maybe you all would agree, that, you know, sometimes there's emotions that get involved just mm-hmm. because you are so close. It's not just your business partner. It's your partner in life as right. well. And you never get away from that. If you're having a disagreement, you settle it at the office as a business partner and you go home and you come back the next day. But when you live with that person and your office is in your house, you really don't ever get away from that. You're forced to deal with it.
You learn to have no emotion. No.
I'm a robot. Yeah.
Actually, you just have to learn how to separate it. That's probably the biggest challenge for any partner. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. It's to say, okay, we're going to agree to disagree. I think it's the most important part, you know?
And then when it's time to let it go, it's time to let it go.
Yeah. Well said. Well spoken, Roger.
Absolutely.
So, Myra, who's our other guest that we've got here?
Well, we've got George with us. Do you want to quickly give us some contact information? And then we'll circle back at the end and get more.
Yeah, thanks, okay. Myra. So I can be reached I'm fine with people calling me on my cell phone 7 days a week. That's what I'm here for. If you need assistance or you have a question, you can reach me on my cell phone at 404-274-1488. And my email address, I'm going to spell it out because our name of our company is spelled a little uniquely. The name of our company is My Accessible Home, which is spelled MyAccessableHome home. So it's like access able mm-hmm. access. It's just
like
a little
that.
Play on words there.
Like
okay,
that.
So then my email address is just Dara at myaccessiblehome.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Gosh.
Thank you.
A lot of great information. Oh, this is so exciting. But now we're going to talk with George Tingley. I like saying your last name. Sorry.
Thank
makes
you.
Me tingling inside.
I feel all tingly to be here this morning.
Now, you're co-founder of BizWire, so tell us a little bit about what you do with your company.
Well, you know, it's really been great being here this morning with everybody and listening to Dara. And what I do with my company is we build digital houses, really, for small business owners, organizations, charities. Okay. We started BizWire about 3 years ago as part of a dissertation field study for my good friend, Jim Ruther. Jim's now completing his PhD in marketing.
Uh-huh.
So we took that field study and turned it into a working business model.
Okay.
And what we do is we provide online services, training, and tools for business owners.
Okay. And I was looking at you actually have a couple of locations where you do training for different, what you call a digital presence, right?
Yes, we do. We actually bring a BizWire client would come in and we put them through four different training sessions mm-hmm. where we teach them how to take control of their internet presence, how to take charge, how to connect, and how to really understand what it all means.
Okay. And is that what you refer to as a digital presence?
Yeah, digital presence is basically your entire existence online. Mm-hmm. It's your email, it's your website, it's your Facebook. And there's so many different places that we're all at, you know, online. But at the end of the day, we're all right here in the room together, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just able to check in on Foursquare, and I sent it to my Facebook page talking about all of us being together right now.
Okay.
So that's the digital side of what we do on a daily basis.
Okay. So you just basically an extension of what you're doing, just letting the whole world know.
Well, and I think that really sums it up. You know, what we've done, and a lot of our customers and clients and friends, they've been successful business operators for decades. Mm-hmm. One of our clients, Harley Davidson, they do a great mm-hmm. job. But to take all that hard work that you do on the ground and then turn that into something digital and be able to share that digitally, that's a really important piece of the new way of doing business.
Absolutely.
And on the digital part, George, on a small business that's based out of here, Atlanta, like Dara, where they've only been here in Atlanta, this could broaden their horizons even more so.
Oh, definitely. And what Darren and her husband are doing, it's amazing. I mean, I was literally just sitting here thinking about one of our clients, Dr. Eric Fury. He owns Midtown Sports Medicine, and he specializes in doing orthopedic care for seniors and vets. Mm-hmm. But he's always preaching preventative.
Right.
You know, what can you do to keep that 80-year-old, you know, veteran from falling down the stairs?
Right. Right.
And here's Dara and her husband doing that kind of work. So that's part of what we do is we connect local business owners together.
Right.
We'll have 40 business owners in a room at a time.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a good example with Harley-Davidson. We did a charity concert for them to fight the esophageal cancer. So what we did, we came in and we built a digital system to promote this concert at a Harley-Davidson motorcycle dealership in Cartersville.
Okay.
We brought in 7,000 people, three bands, connected that digitally, and wound up just raising awareness to fight esophageal cancer on a national level.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really exciting. It went so well that the Esophageal Cancer Awareness Association put us on their board of directors 2 weeks ago. So
oh
we're actually
gosh.
Working with them out of New York, and we're really grateful to be part of that, you know, community.
We attended that, and it was an outstanding show.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. Well, you know, it was well worth the drive.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, I'm totally flummoxed.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, and then they raised some funds for the nonprofit, which was even better, you know? So I think that's it served multiple purposes, which I think one of the things that we think about digital presence, a lot of people don't understand it. It's kind of like your fingerprint, but your fingerprint out in the real world.
Yeah. So, tell me about some of the services that BizWire offers to its clients.
Sure. Well, the first thing we do is when we meet with a client or an organization, and I'll give you another example. We work with Calvary Children's Home.
Mm-hmm.
They're an orphanage children's home out in Cobb County. They've been in business 47 years.
Wow.
So we would go in and do an assessment and meet with the pastor, Pastor Snyder, who runs the home, and show him what he looks like online. After that, we would sit down and take him and his whole staff through 4 training sessions and show them how to use the internet.
Okay.
You know, everybody knows what Facebook is, right?
Right.
But what do you really do with it?
Exactly. That's always my question.
And then when you do something, how do you quantify that?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we teach our people how to use these tools. Now, with that being said, we also provide them with the tools that they'll need to control their digital presence.
Mm.
So one of the products we created was a digital dashboard. And basically what a BizWire dashboard does, it's similar to what you would see at like Goldman Sachs. You got a stockbroker, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting in front of 3 screens looking at IBM all day. So
right.
he knows when to buy and sell it.
Right.
We build that same kind of system for a business owner.
Mm.
So we built that for Calvary Children's Home. So they can see everything being said about the home. They can connect to the sponsors and people that support it.
Mm.
Just like a stockbroker. So that's one piece, you know? Now you can see what's going on. Now you're able to look at it and control it.
And then also not only look at it and control it, but interact, which is so important in the digital world.
Yes.
You know, where so if somebody is having a conversation, you can jump into it and you know, continue it. Or, you know, if you see something bad, kind of nip it in the bud, you know, and just take control. So that's awesome.
Sure. And that's one of the big things, too. A lot of people, you know, are familiar with online directories like Yelp.
Uh-huh.
Which is a multi-$100 million company. Well, a lot of our clients never realize that you can actually go to Yelp and respond to a positive or a negative review.
Mm.
It really is important that you're able to identify all these different places so that you can respond, so that you can go in and say
right.
something nice,
uh-huh.
just like we do face-to-face.
Exactly.
You know, we were training one of our doctors the other day. He never realized that you can actually go to Google and thank somebody for saying something nice about you.
Mm.
It's not just one way.
Right.
And we saw this with the hotel industry, you know, over the past few years. They spent a lot of money figuring out that, hey, if somebody goes to Yelp and says something nice, I should thank them.
Mm-hmm.
If someone goes to Yelp and says something negative, I should address it.
Mm-hmm.
Research actually shows that by addressing a negative review,
right.
you actually get more interaction with potential and current customers.
Right. That's awesome. Now, another thing that I realize that you do just by, you know, the system that you set up and the dashboard and all that other stuff is you provide somebody, a business owner, a way to kind of get a return on investment on what that social media is. Generally, they're like, yeah, I know I should do Facebook and Twitter, but, you know, I can't quantify it. I can't provide a return. So I'm just going to stick my head in the sand and not do it. So it sounds like your systems help them to literally provide that return on investment.
It's the most important part, really. What we did with the business model, we took a study called the TAM model, and it's called the Technology Acceptance Model. MIT developed it to get people to use email. You know, what happens when I use email? How is that going to make money for my company? Mm. Well, we all figured out that email makes us a lot of money, right? I'm getting ready to, you know, I'm going to email Dara when I get done here. I mean, it works. So we took that same model and applied it to the Facebooks and the syndication platforms. And, you know, another good example, you go to a press release site. You teach a business owner how to do their own press release and then how to share that with current and potential customers. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is. The return on investment's huge. And the technology's gotten a point now, like, where you can actually quantify it. How many people went to my site? How many people came and liked my page? How many people spent money with me? That's the big one, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
I think what's really a big value is that he's teaching them, his company's teaching them how to sustain it. It's not just like a one-time buy, and here you go, and good luck. But here's some trends that you're noticing, too. Because in the last couple of years, you've noticed a difference in different things like Yelp and Google and some of the other search engines aspects, right?
Definitely. You know, and I'll give you a good example. One of our clients, Kirk Kimmerling, DDS, he's a dentist out in Marietta. He's gotten over 100 new patients using our system. You cannot, like, technology's gotten to the point nowadays where if you can provide a business owner or a charity with the tools they need to understand these things.
Right.
And then actually be able to show them, you know, how to use it and when to do something and why to do something. Numbers don't lie.
Right.
You know if someone comes in. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side, too, we save people a lot of money. And I'll go back to, like, you know, with Yelp, for instance. Mm-hmm. A lot of the directories, online directories, can charge you a monthly fee.
Right.
You know, some of them $600 a month to $1,500 a month just for one directory. Hmm. We teach our business owners and our partners and clients how to use all those for free. Hmm. We don't use the paid versions.
Wow. And it sounds like, I mean, if the guy got 100 clients a month, it's obviously effective.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't in a month. That was over about a nine-month period.
Well, still, 9 months.
100 clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about 12 a month.
12 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, and just... what is the cost of a client, the lifetime the lifetime value that client can bring? So, wow, that's incredible. Now, you talked about, you know, connecting with your clients or prospects and responding to people. How can you connect with potential folks? I know you touched on it with the DDS example, but what are some of the ways that you could share without, I mean, because I know you do this in training sessions.
Sure. Well, no, it's all shareable. It's all... You know, technology's gotten to a point where we're able to share our message globally. You know, we have clients in Switzerland, okay? We have clients in Toronto. How do you connect those people? Mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you a local example. One of our clients, Atlanta Motorcycle Works, they specialize in vintage motorcycle restoration, which is a very niche market. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can fix something that's very valuable, that's very old. They're using the system. They've seen a lot of success with it. They connected us with one of their partners who owns a motorcycle safety school, Chris Carr's his name, and he owns Two Wheel Adventures and Motorcycle Academy. He's trained over 6,000 people in the state of Georgia. Uh-huh. Great guy. Well, Chris does all the work for Zach Brown on his motorcycle rides. Mm. So now we're connecting everybody with Camp Southern Ground to help raise money for Zach Brown's camp.
Oh, wow.
We brought in some of our other BizWire partners, and actually Roger and Stacy are going to be coming in on that project with us. And we can just build that network. And then we do the things that we do as good people, you know, on a daily basis. We just connect it digitally with these things like cell phones and computers.
Oh, my gosh. It's just totally fascinating.
It's like a whole full circle. You watch it go around.
So, sorry.
So, George, you've owned several small businesses in the last decade, I could say, right?
Well, my whole life. Yeah. I mean, I grew up in my family. We owned a cemetery. That's where it all started.
Oh, wow.
And we had 75,000 people that were buried in our cemetery and a big, gigantic Rolodex.
Yeah.
And it had everybody's name. And that's where I really started learning about the importance of connecting. Mm-hmm. I was in customer complaints at 15. My mom said, "You take care of all the complaints." Wow. So I learned how to listen to people. And, you know, I understood the value of time and sharing message and sharing our goals together. with BizWire, you know, I've been very fortunate. You know, my business partner has a PhD in marketing. Mm-hmm. John Sullivan, our CTO, is a computer scientist. You know, he works with NASA.
Wow.
You know, our other partner, Tim Brinkley, he used to build NASA rockets. NASA said, son, you're going to need to start working on computers now. And he built the mobile site that I showed you today.
Wow.
And then we've got, you know, Greg Roberts, who I've known for years. Greg's got a degree in marketing, just a fantastic guy. So I'm very fortunate to have people around me that, mm-hmm. you know, have the talent and the capabilities to actually pull this kind of stuff off.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you know, if it doesn't work and you can't do what you do very well, mm-hmm. you can't really compete in the market.
Exactly. Now, how much does the BizWire cost? I usually don't ask that question, but you gave me permission to.
Sure. You know, I'll go back to this. You know, one of our clients was paying $1,500 a month, and we charge $30 a month. We have a one-time fee that you come in and we train your whole company for $1,300. We do a money-back guarantee if you're not happy, and it's $30 a month. So we're literally dimes on the dollar compared to what a lot of our competitors are selling these services for.
That's incredible.
Well, you have to understand, too, and for all you listeners out there in business land, in order to succeed in today's business world, you have to invest in your business.
Right.
ROI. You know, there is an ROI involved. Now, I'm not saying go out and, you know, spend bajillions to do that, but you do what you have.
$1,300.
Yes, exactly. but you do what you need to do in order to do that. And based upon what I'm hearing from you, George, not only do small businesses need this, I think some cases the mid-size and the large ones could benefit as well. Because if you look at the situation now in the economy and whatnot, what's to say that some big conglomerate, Fortune 500 company can't say, well, you know what, we could use some improvement in our aspects as well.
What's
your thoughts on that?
Yeah.
Well, I agree, and we've seen it. You know, we do have some large clients, and it's amazing the way that we've built this new digital world. There's just so many different, you know, avenues and streams, and there's so much to it. Mm-hmm. But to really sit down like we do with the project management approach and just apply basic academics to the system and the training and then just knock it out one step at a time. It doesn't matter if you're a multi-million-dollar company. We have one client that I'm not going to name, but they have over 1,500 clients or $20+ million. Mm-hmm. We taught them how to use Google, you know?
Right.
We taught them that you can go to LinkedIn, and it's not just about having a company with a site. You can actually list all your services and connect to all of your customers and potential customers. So there's so much, and it does work for any scale. Mm-hmm. You know, we have doctors that are clients, but I'm also doing presentations to some pretty significant healthcare groups and hospitals.
Well, that's
so everybody needs this.
Absolutely.
They need to take charge, and they need to be in control with mm-hmm. this. And, you know, and what's really satisfying for us, though, for the BizWire family is when we get somebody all done up and they're trained and they understand it, and then we can connect them to not only their community and their customers, but to the BizWire group as well.
Right.
You know, and I'm just excited to be able to help people, but I'm also excited about where they could go with it.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Wow.
So, do you want to talk about your other venture, the restaurant?
Which one?
The taqueria.
Which one?
Another thing, and this kind of came, I was a business development director at a small school, and my daughter grew up with this great guy, and him and his fiance, we started a restaurant a couple years ago called Taqueria Tsunami, which we have a great little restaurant on Marietta Square. Mm-hmm. We actually put the Christmas tree up for the Calvary Children's Home just this past week, so we're doing a fundraiser for the kids there. And it's a Latin Asian fusion restaurant, so we do things like shrimp tempura tacos and
so
Kobe
good.
Beef rice bowls.
Okay, it's lunchtime.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
You know, and one of our chefs and you know, Scotty's protege, Mauricio Diaz, he actually even brought up a tortilla factory from Mexico, so we make all the tortillas right here in Atlanta.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. George and I spent the afternoon with him and learned how to make tortillas.
Stacy didn't want to leave.
It was very cool.
Who would want to leave that?
Yeah.
Exactly. But I'd love for y'all to come up, you know, and we can sit back and enjoy some really good food and talk about the world at large.
Awesome.
So, George, are they going to... esophageal cancer, are they going to do another event for 2013?
Well, we're real excited about the future with the ECAA. our client, Harley Davidson of Cartersville, connected us with another client, Rhonda Small, who put this whole thing together. And Jim Ruth are my business partners now on that board. So we're coming up with the schedule for next year. Will we do another concert? Possibly. We are going to be focusing on trying to raise awareness. We're going to try to really focus on where we can go research-wise and raise money for that researcher somewhere out in the world that's trying to fight this deadly cancer.
Right.
And, you know, this is one of the fastest-growing cancers in the world.
Man.
It can be brought on by acid reflux, coffee.
Oh, wow.
But if you get your throat checked, it's curable. So it's all about raising awareness. And, you know, we were really fortunate after the concert. We wound up getting one of these Yay Girls on the Dr. Oz show. So that was a great show. And, you know, we're just trying to build the ECA where it becomes a mainstream, you know, a mainstream nonprofit that's going to get the attention that it needs.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, it sounds like you're doing some amazing things. How do our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, I guess the easiest way would be to just email me.
Mm-hmm.
The email is gtingley, T-I-N-G-L-E-Y, at...
You can't forget that, gtingley.
It's a hard name to live up to. And that's at bzwire.net, B as in boy, Z as in zebra, wire.net.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a website, www.bizwire, B-I-Z-W-I-R-E.net.
Okay.
And don't get confused between us and the other BizWire. That's there's a Warren Buffett BizWire out there, too. But we'll usually pull up above Warren.
Oh. Wow, that is saying
awesome.
A lot.
That is saying a whole lot. Wow. How about those stats?
Yeah,
I pull up in the engine better than Warren Buffett. Maybe you need to talk to him to see if you can help.
We're waiting for the call. And, you know, SEO is part of what we do. But it really is, you know. The SEO, the thing that a lot of people don't realize, I mean, everybody talks about I'm a social media guru and we're going to do SEO. And SEO is just something that occurs when you do a good job online.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you go do a good job and you know how to share the good work you do, your SEO is going to increase.
Mm-hmm.
But to be able to go out and just buy it, it's one way to do it.
Right. I mean, and it's probably, again, it's not the lasting way to do it.
I don't think you win in the long run.
Right.
We saw that with one of our competitors on the Makoplasty robot. And I think the competitor was somewhere around $5,000 a month. And we're pulling up above them for $30 a month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
So I'm going to ask a question for both of you guys. For 2013, what do you think small business is going to look like? With the elections finally over, that kind of stuff, what do you see? Go for it. Just pick something.
Let me go for it. I think what's happened right now, I think that the bar's been raised. You know, those of us that own businesses, you know, just like Darren, myself, I mean, you've got to do what you do real well.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it in technology in a major way. I mean, all the real estate agents that became social media gurus, they're kind of gone. You know, and that's a good thing because who would you rather be with, the computer scientist with the PhD in marketing or the... You know, somebody that's just picked it up overnight. So I think you have to be on your A game, do what you do really well. Mm-hmm. But then also, I think it goes back to that connection piece. You know, we have to connect with the people we're doing business with and really build that business community and expand from there. And I think the people that do that are going to be very successful in years to come.
Absolutely.
I 100% agree with what George said. And I have found that maybe it's because I am a small business owner, but I have a lot of friends and colleagues that are also small business owners.
Yes.
And we're all so supportive of one another.
Right.
I think it's created an atmosphere where people would almost rather do business with other small businesses mm-hmm. than to deal with these, you know, mega corporate companies.
Without a face, with it, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's personalized service. Mm-hmm. It's the connections, the meaningfulness. I think we're a world that, with just the stressors going on in this world, in this economy, I think people want to be and feel more connected.
Right. Mm.
And with one another. And so I agree with what George and what he was saying. I think for small businesses, it's I'm encouraged. I'm very encouraged because I think others out there are also feeling the same way. And we're learning how to network better. Which is, you know, part of what we're here today doing. Uh-huh. And I'm excited that I've just met George. And
I know.
But yeah,
so now we're connectors.
We're connectors.
Awesome.
Right. That's right. But you know, that's what makes life. I know I'm so sappy, but it's this, again, social
that's
worker
why
me.
I love you. I'm
oh,
so happy too.
Oh, you're feeling my love.
Yeah, I love it.
My BFF now. Besties. We're all besties in this room now.
Exactly.
But that's really what it's about. That's what truly makes life meaningful. Mm-hmm. You know, I hate to reference something sad, but in my hospice days, I learned more about living from people who were dying.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cliche to say, but that's because they didn't sweat that small stuff.
Absolutely.
They made time for one another. You know, when you give someone your time, you don't get that back.
Right.
You can make more money, but you can't get that time back.
Right.
And when you put in time with one another to help one another grow, the more you give, the more you get back. And that's that relationship building and that connectiveness that we're all invested in. So thanks so much for having
us on the show today.
Thank you both. Thank you both. And folks, there you have it. Dara McMillan from My Accessible Home. She is the HMS. That's home modification specialist.
look at Roger with the fancy lingo.
She was a cap, but what is an HMS?
She is the HMS. And we have Mr. George Tingley of BizWire. And please, Ben, if for those of you in Marietta area or whatever the case may be, if you haven't gone to the Taqueria, please do so. Even if you don't live in Marietta, go anyway.
Yeah, it's a great place.
Well, once again, join us each week as we talk to small businesses and what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to the challenges of running a small business and ultimately why they choose to do so. You've heard from two very distinct business owners that are very passionate as what they do. So once again, for all you listeners out there, take care, and we will see you next week.